Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of Bold, a bouldering podcast. Now first of all, I'd like to address my absence in the last month. Staying motivated during this lockdown proved harder than I imagined, and I decided to focus all the motivation that I could muster up on my own bouldering progress. Now, although I live in a small two-bedroom apartment, I did succeed at building a freestanding home wall and getting addicted to buying new holds. So, panic buying wood and supplies on the last day before quarantine proved useful. And I would recommend building a home wall to everyone. Now, for those interested, mine is positioned above my bed with a 35-degree angle. The dimensions are 1 meter 60 by 2 meter 20, or roughly 5 by 7 feet. I can literally climb out of bed now. So, long story short, I had a motivation problem last month and chose to spend more time on the board instead of researching for and writing scripts. Now, I offer you my sincerest apologies and I'll do my best to get back on the bi-monthly uploading schedule. Now, just one more thing before we get into it. I checked out my analytics recently, and I'm amazed by the amount of listeners I've gathered so far. I'm honored to inform such a large international audience and want to thank you for your time. Now, if you truly enjoy the podcast, feel free to subscribe or leave a review. This gives new potential listeners a better view on the Bold Bouldering podcast. And if you want to contact me about episode topics, questions, etc., follow me on Instagram at boldbouldering. Now let's move on to today's topic, finger strength for beginners. I'd like to start by defining beginner. In this episode, that's anyone that has been climbing less than a year and a half. Now, of course, there are cases of athletes getting to ridiculous levels of climbing within 2 years. Now, this could be due to finger strength, but I'm almost certain it's superior technique, flexibility, and mental game. Now, the soft tissue in your fingers and forearms, such as tendons and ligaments, which we'll call sinew from now on, they don't adapt as fast as muscle does. Your bicep could get stronger in a week, while on average, it'll take the sinew in your fingers and forearms about a year and a half to start adapting. So, in this episode, you'll get a short guide on how to develop finger strength in the best way possible during this first year and a half period. The aim is to balance our fingers out, provide a healthy cushion of antagonist muscles, and build up structural strength in the shoulder, wrist, and elbow. So that once you do start an intense fingerboarding routine, or you start bouldering on really small holds, your fingers will be prepared in a way that reduces injury risk and promotes sinew adaptation. To be more specific, I'll get into the following 5 topics. Topic 1, finger warm-up. Topic 2, different grip types. Topic 3, antagonist training. Topic 4, upper body strength. And topic 5, injury prevention rituals. Let's start with a warm-up. A big mistake that a lot of people make is underestimating how long it takes for your fingers to get warm. Now, when we want our muscles to warm up, we basically want to improve blood flow and prepare the tissue for activity. Now, the problem with warming up sinew, or tendons, ligaments, etc., is that there's no real blood flow occurring. The sinew in your fingers use synovial fluid to not only warm up, but also to transport vital components for tissue repair and transformation. Now, this synovial fluid is loaded into your sinew in a sponge-like manner. By squeezing your fingers, you push the fluid out, and the release of the pressure pulls more and new fluid back in. On average, you'll want to do around 100 of gripping actions before you start getting into serious overhangs or crimping terrain. Now, back when bouldering in a gym was allowed here in my city, I like to warm up for a solid 15 minutes on the spray slab wall, just waltzing around on the holds warming up my fingers and stretching my legs at the same time. Now, if you want to warm up your fingers before you even touch the wall, you can use the following exercise. Start by shaking your fingers loose, and next, hold your hands out and gently squeeze them into fists for 5 seconds. Then release and straighten out, holding for 5 seconds. Now, squeeze your hands again, but touch the tops of your fingers to your palm as if performing a half crimp of sorts. Hold this for 5 seconds again, and then release and straighten out for again 5 seconds. The last step is to squeeze your hand again, but touch the tops of your finger to where your finger starts on the palm. Hold this for, you guessed it, 5 seconds. Then release and straighten out for 5 seconds again. You can repeat this until you feel adequately warmed up for your 100 gripping actions. Different grip types. Now, once you get past the stage of jugs, you'll start noticing multiple types of holds on the wall. Slopers, crimps, pinches, pockets, edges, etc. Now, each hold can be held with different grip types, of course. Now, when discussing the topic of grip types, I'd like you to imagine a simple edge with enough space for the first pair of your fingers. The most popular grip types, by far, are the half crimp and the full crimp. Now let's start with the latter. The full crimp requires you to wrap your thumb around your index finger. In this way, you not only gain the strength of another finger on the edge, but also the impact of that strength on the tension in your index and sometimes even your middle finger's pulley. Now, the extra tension in those pulleys creates a great amount of strength and grip that can be transferred to the smallest of edges. Now, as a consequence, the full crimp is also the most dangerous of all the grip types. The forces applied to your sinew when using a full crimp grip can seriously harm them. Overusing this grip type is an easy trap to fall in. I personally recommend to keep specific crimp training for after the beginner year and a half period. I'm not saying never crimp, but treat crimping like a legendary and rare weapon that you only unsheath when challenging worthy opponents. Now, next we'll discuss more sustainable alternatives to full crimping. You might not believe it, but when you train the right way, the following grip types can get as strong or stronger than your crimp. Now, the half crimp, the little brother of the full crimp. Simply put, the half crimp is a full crimp without the thumb. Your top knuckle is still strongly bent inwards, but there's no thumb applying extra pressure. Now, this grip type is preferable to full crimping, as it is less likely to create injuries. The open hand grip. Now, this is a position that is widely seen as the best option for injury prevention. The open position of the fingers doesn't stress them as hard, but requires more technique and practice from the climber to master. Now, there's more than 50% less pressure on your sinew when using this grip type. For this open hand grip, you'll have all four of your fingers on the edge. Your fingers should only be on the hold with 1 to 1.5 pads and should be as straight as possible. If your pinky keeps slipping off, check out the next grip type. Last but not least, my personal favorite, the 3-finger drag. Now, if you're in the small pinky gang like me, or you want to open hand a smaller hold, try the 3-finger drag. With this position, you use the first pads of your index, middle, and ring finger to grip the edge, keeping the fingers as straight as can be. When bouldering like this, I like to imagine that I'm a giant sloth. So we can conclude that switching to a half crimp instead of a full crimp and training an open hand grip can greatly improve our strength on the rock and the balance in our fingers. You don't want to find out in 2 years that you can only full crimp and fail at all the other grip types. Start early and master the art of the open hand grip and the 3-finger drag. Now, the simplest way to train these new grip types for people that have been bouldering for less than a year and a half is to warm up in the grip type that you want to train. I always warm up in either an open hand grip or three finger drag. And when you're getting into real training, I recommend to open hand or three finger drag any hold you can. If it feels impossible, switch to a half crimp. And only when really desperate should you use your full crimping powers. Antagonist training. We'll keep this topic short and simple. When we're pulling hard on our forearms multiple times a week, we need some muscles to balance that out and protect our precious tendons from developing overuse injuries. Now, I'll introduce you to a couple simple antagonist exercises that you can do as a cool down after your bouldering session. Exercise 1. Wrist curls. Take a 1 or 2 kilogram weight, that's 2 or 4 pounds roughly, and sit down on a chair next to a table. Position your forearm on the table so that your hand just falls over the edge. Now place the weight in that hand and curl your wrist up in a slow and controlled motion. Then slowly descend back down. You can count to 5 on the way up and on the way down. Repeat this 14 times and rest for a 1 minute period in between sets. You can do 3 sets of this. Exercise 2. Finger curls. Now take the same weight as before and stand up. Hold the weight in your hand and slowly roll your fingers out, balancing the weight on the tops of your fingers and then curling them back up. Do this in a slow and controlled manner for 14 reps. Take a 1 minute rest again and do a minimum of 3 sets. Exercise 3. Push-ups. Regular old push-ups. Now, if these are too hard for you, feel free to put down one or both knees. You can also elevate your hands. Try and find the sweet spot of difficulty by aiming to be able to do 10. In any exercise, we only want to do 7 though. Take a 3 minute rest in between your sets and do at least 3 sets of 7 reps. Extra points if you use different hand positions for each set. Especially try to master the diamond push-up, and when you're ready, the one-arm push-up. If you want to do more exercises, check out the World Wide Web for upper body antagonist exercises. Add climbing to your search term for better results. Upper body strength. Now, strong fingers are awesome, but it's smart to invest in a good set of guns, strong arms that is, to take off as much weight as possible from your tendons. The tendons that flex your fingers run up further than you think, so building strong shoulders and back muscles is important to unlocking finger strength. Your fingers will only get as strong as your shoulders are. So here are some simple exercises that I've discussed before, so I won't discuss them here too much. You can do these as a warm-up before or during your session. Exercise 1. Scapular pull-ups. Now, these are great for stabilizing and securing your shoulder. I recommend searching for an example on YouTube of this exercise. You want to do 3 sets of 14 reps with a 1 minute of rest in between. Exercise 2. Bicep curls. Now, this exercise is great for pulling power on dynamic moves and holding onto underclings. Now, to find the optimal weight for this exercise, search for a weight with which you can do 10 reps at your max. I want the last one to feel impossible. Now, in the exercise itself, you're going to do 7 reps. And again, you guessed it, we'll do a minimum of 3 sets, consisting of 7 reps with a rest of 3 to 5 minutes in between. Exercise 3. Regular old pull-ups. Now, I won't go into detail here. Just stick with the bold training plan of a minimum of 3 sets of 7 reps with a 3 to 5 minute rest in between. Add weight to your body if 7 reps feels too easy. Now, if you don't have a climbing wall or access to a gym at the moment, feel free to warm up your body and perform the exercises discussed in this episode. If you really want to work out your climbing muscles, aim for 7 sets of everything instead of 3. Let me know what that feels like. The last topic, injury prevention rituals. I like to perform certain daily or weekly rituals to decrease the chance of developing finger injuries. I gently massage and squeeze my fingers in the morning, warming them up and feeling for aches to pay attention to later when training. Catching an injury early on is always preferable. Icing your hands every day or at least every week seems to aid in repair of your sinew as well. I use a big Tupperware container filled with water and ice packs for this. Stay in the water for a solid 10 minutes, and if you're feeling chill, you can hang for longer as well. Now, getting the right nutrients to repair your sinew is important. Sadly, these components that we need are not that widely available in our foods. Weirdly enough, cucumber contains certain minerals that improve tendon health. And since sinews suck in synovial fluid like a sponge, it is best to eat cucumber an hour before your bouldering session. That way, you're actually repairing while you're using your tendons. The high percentage of water in this amazing fruit is an added bonus. And the best injury prevention of all is, of course, rest. Take time to rest your fingers. Sinew take up to 48 hours to start repairing. So if you feel any pain in your tendons, give it at least 2 to 3 days before slowly getting back on the wall. And that's that for today. I hope you learned something new this episode, and you will hear me next time on the Bald Bouldering Podcast.